We're going to begin this morning with prayer. That's why we're beginning early. I want to give permission to move around the room as you need it, because this will go on for a while. This is a litany in the wake of a mass shooting. That's the title. It was begun in November 2018 following a massacre in Thousand Oaks, California, when a group of bishops from the Episcopal Church offered this to commemorate the dead, to comfort the loved ones, and to honor their survivors and the first responders. So since then, they've regularly and sadly updated this litany. As we read through this together, may we all wrestle with how many of the thousands of gun-related deaths in cities across our country do not appear on this list. Some weekends, shootings are in double digits year after year after year after year, compounding trauma in individuals and communities' lives. And as we read through this compiled list, may we also note here in this sanctuary how many on this list are from California. Lord, have mercy. And we know that prayers are not enough. If nothing else, may we stop voting for people who do not have the courage to stand up for gun reform in our country. So as we share in remembrance of those who lost their lives to gun violence in each place, we invite us all to respond with one voice, this line, let's practice it. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. God of peace, we remember all those who have died in incidents of mass gun violence in this nation's public and private spaces. Six dead at the Wisconsin Sikh temple. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
12 dead at Aurora, Colorado movie theater. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
28 dead at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Six dead at Santa Monica College, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Seven dead at Hialeah, Florida apartment complex. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 13 dead at the Washington Navy Yard. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Four dead at Fort Hood, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Seven dead in Isla Vista near UC Santa Barbara. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Five dead at Marysville Pickchuck High School in Washington. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Six dead in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Nine dead at Emmanuel AME in Charleston, South Carolina. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
16 dead at a San Bernardino, California office. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
16 dead, 10 dead at an Umpqua Community College in Oregon. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Six dead in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Four dead at Heston, Kansas office. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Five dead at a Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania backyard party. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
50 dead at Pulse Nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Five dead at Cascade Mall in Burlington, Washington. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Five dead at Fort Lauderdale Airport. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Four dead in Fresno, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Eight dead in Lincoln County, Mississippi. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Four dead at an Eaton Township, Pennsylvania supermarket. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Nine dead at a Plano, Texas football watching party. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
59 dead at a Las Vegas, Nevada concert. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
27 dead at First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
17 dead at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Five dead at the Veterans Home in Yountville, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
Four dead at a Nashville, Tennessee Waffle House. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
10 dead at Santa Fe High School, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at the 5th Search Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at a Rite Aid distribution center in Aberdeen, Maryland. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
11 dead at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
13 dead at a bar in Thousand Oaks, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead at a bank in Sebring, Florida. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead at their homes in Ascension and Livingston Parishes, Louisiana. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
6 dead at an industrial park in Aurora, Illinois. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at a home in Clinton, Mississippi. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead in Solon Township, Michigan. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
13 dead at a municipal building in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at the Gilroy Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
22 dead at a Walmart in El Paso, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 10 dead at the Orokin District of downtown Dayton, Ohio. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
8 dead on the road between the cities of Odessa and Midland, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead in their home in Elkmont, Alabama. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at a bar in Kansas City, Kansas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at a backyard football watch party in Fresno, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
6 dead at a cemetery and kosher market in Jersey City, New Jersey. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 6 dead at the Molson Coors Complex in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead at a convenience store in Springfield, Missouri. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 5 dead in the northeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
8 dead at 3 spas in Atlanta, Georgia. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 10 dead at a grocery store in Boulder, Colorado. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at an office complex in Orange, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
6 dead at a home in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
9 dead at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, Indiana. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 7 dead at a birthday party in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them. 10 dead at a rail yard in San Jose, California. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
4 dead at Oxford High School in Oxford Township, Michigan. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead in Lakewood and Denver, Colorado. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
5 dead at the church in Sacramento, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
6 dead in downtown Sacramento, California. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them. 10 dead at a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Give to the departed eternal rest. Let light perpetual shine upon them.
21 dead at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
All those who have died in any incident of gun violence, give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
For survivors of gun violence, grant them comfort and healing.
Hear us, Lord.
For those who have lost loved ones to gun violence, grant them peace.
Hear us, Lord.
For those first responders who care for victims of gun violence, protect and strengthen them.
Hear us, Lord. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Amen.
Loving God, as our hearts break, may your love break our lives open, that we could create the kind of community and world that you long for us to be. May we trust now and evermore in your deep love for the world, and may that love guide us this day and in our lives. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand as you're willing and able, and we are going to move together into song. This is We Shall Be Known.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change to lie from deep within the earth. It is time now, it is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now, it is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this returning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now, it is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. In this returning we shall learn to lead in love. In this returning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
What does it take for the sun to set? Does it really just slip below this side of the world like a yolk separated from its white? Or is it an end that requires the whole? If I know anything of God, I would say yes. The sun sets because the birds alarm its napping, and the farmer puts down her shovel, and the small boy climbs into his father's arms. That's when the sun knows it's reached the end, and that somewhere else it's time for another beginning. Now there are stories whose ends have not yet come, and they cause ends not meant to be. Printed on pages of cities smoldered, smelling of gun smoke and parading as freedom. And I weep now at suitcases and grocery carts and backpacks and life squandered. Don't point. Look within and up, because doesn't the sun teach us that we, too, are responsible for the endings had and capable of knowing when to dip down low so that the weary soul can rest and rise back up again.
Every time I feel this way, this old familiar sinking, I will lay my troubles down by the water where the river will never run dry. Hallelujah. I will do my part where the river river will never run dry.
Good morning. And welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Avery, and I serve both as our Sunday morning coordinator, as well as our co-farm lead out at Table Farm. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and online. This morning, we conclude a worship series we are calling The Art of Gathering as Practicing Resurrection. Throughout the 50 days of the Easter season, we're journeying with John's Gospel as we practice resurrection through the lens of a book called The Art of Gathering by Priya Parker. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables, which are small groups that are the heartbeat of our community of faith. And each week we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God and loving our neighbors, as well as searching scripture together. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. If you would like to connect with others and learn more about how we practice faith here at the table, we encourage you to register today for our next six-week Growing in Faith series, which will be held online every Tuesday evening starting this Tuesday, May 31st. Our children grow in faith with an outdoor version of godly play during the 9:30 service, and then outside with loving childcare during the 11 o'clock service. As a community, we reach in love in many ways. With that in mind, we encourage you to join a community volunteer shift out at Table Farm. We hold volunteer shifts three times a week, Tuesday evenings, Friday mornings, and Saturday mornings. You can visit thetable.farm to learn more about everything that's going on out there. A note for those who are gathering online at thetable.live. Molly is there with you as a host. If you have any questions or need assistance, please message her directly or share that in the chat. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and to find a virtual seat to connect with others, much like we do on Zoom. If you would like to follow along with the flow of worship, please use the QR code that you see here on the screen. There's also QR codes along the inside and outside of the pews. And for those online, there will be a link shared in the chat. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith or simply stay in touch with us, please text the word new to the number that you see on the screen. You can also visit our website, thetableumc.org, and there will be a pop-up in which you can connect with us that way. We will continue to move in worship, and I invite you to remain seated. This song is composed by Audrey Assad. The words are on the screen so that you may sing along as you are comfortable. This is Wounded Healer.
God of heaven,
Amen and amen. Jamie is here to take some of our young friends who might be ready to move outside. I see some of those friends that are to move outside together for a godly play story. Our children will gather in a circle with Jamie and our other teachers who will be with us, and then we can find our children right outside in the play yard right after worship. Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, and I'll be sharing from verses 20 to 26, and we've revised this slightly to be more inclusive of some of the language, and so you'll hear the word Abba. In the Greek, it's Abba and Ima is the language that we use, and it's a more intimate feeling than like father or mother. Abba, Ima would be more like daddy, mommy, whatever relationship you have that is most intimate in that way. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Abba, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Abba, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Abba, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
We shall be known by the company we keep. The composer of that song is Carisha Longer of the duo Mamouz. And in an interview, Carisha said, "I first received the song through a dream." It's instructive for me to know how musicians come to where they are. She says, "I awoke with the first part of the song singing through me, and it haunted me, and the rest, well, it came later." Our music team recorded this song for worship when all of us were not in person. Remember that? It is our number one most played and shared video. It's most requested by others for Pastor Matt and I to share in their own worship settings or even meetings. Someone, I think I have the story right, someone's mother who lives on the other side of the country, someone from this community of faith, their mother was in a meeting and they said, "Well, this is a beautiful song by a church called The Table." And they said, "That's my child's church." And it was on the other side of the country. It seems that the words stay with people. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. And sung alongside our scripture this morning, it makes sense for me that the well is the abiding love of Jesus that is the center of God's heart. That's for me. It doesn't have to be for the composer. I and them, you and me, that they may be completely one. That video has been shared over 306,000 times. This is the final part of Jesus' farewell discourse, which we read in John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 17 over these weeks, and also the last week of our worship series, as Avery said, The Art of Gathering, and a week in which maybe you are like me, I have struggled to simply stay on task and collect my thoughts in an organized fashion, and I can't think too much because I just have to keep talking. We've worked very hard not only to create the messages for these series, but to pair them with our salon gatherings online and out at Table Farm. They were glorious gatherings. Over 100 people gathered in smaller groups in which they broke bread, got to know one another, and wondered out loud about some questions about our life together. And I want to bring our series to a close, and I also want to be real about how hard it is to do so when so many of us are reeling in pain and the world seems off her axis. And if you're anything like me, I just have a ball of anger. That's where I go for a while. So how has it come to all of this? Our verses today from chapter 17 look to the past as a summing up and to the future of John's community. So let me just say a brief word about what was going on then for that community that brought Jesus to gather his disciples and to pray over them. They were a community of house churches who were being expelled from the synagogue. And the whole of these chapters, which are known as the Farewell Discourse, describes this time of conflict as a confrontation between the world, which is translated from the word, the Greek word cosmos, and the word, which is translated from the word, Greek word logos. In the language of John's gospel, the world, cosmos, isn't a location as much as it is a theological description of all the forces, spiritual and historical, violent and evil, pushing against the work of God through God's logos, the human one, Jesus. The world, cosmos, whether it is the world of the Roman Empire or the world of a temple-centered city or the world of the synagogue, all of it is opposed in their time to the work of God. It's the central conflict that the community of house churches faced, and the central conflict in the Gospel of John. When a community is under attack by the world, it may become more cohesive or more splintered. This feels like a descriptor of our current reality. How do we gather so that we become more cohesive? The unity of the Johannine community is based not on a dogma, but on a communal experience of indwelling that John is comparing to the relationship between Jesus and God, Abba. I wonder if that's possible also for us. This understanding, this relationship, is what the community is called to witness in the world. And their mission, and I would add our mission, is to keep this experience of faith alive in the community, in the company we keep, so that it can be offered to a broken and fractured world. John 17 is Jesus' final farewell to his gathering of disciples. And he ends his gathering with this prayer we heard for unity in God's love, even as he would soon face his own death at the hands of the world. It is only in facing this end that God would then intervene in the most subversive and radical of ways. Once Jesus accepted that there would be an end of him, God chose to bring new life from death. No fire, no fury, just death into life. In the final chapter of her book, Priya Parker writes this: the first step to closing a gathering and doing it well is less practical than it is spiritual or metaphysical. You must, before anything, accept that there is an end. You must accept your gathering's mortality. Accepting that things must come to an end, it's not always easy. And it's clear the disciples didn't appreciate it. Many times I don't either. Maybe you too. So in the case of that, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to plan for it. Plan for it. Priya Parker writes, I once had an improv teacher, Dave Sawyer, who told us that you can tell the difference between good actors and great ones not by how they enter a stage, which every actor thinks about and plans for, but how they exit. Good actors enter dramatically and in character. They say their lines, and when they're done, assuming their job has finished, scuttle off the stage. Great actors spend as much time thinking about the parting. Great hosts, too, because great hosts, like great actors, understand how you end things, like how you begin them, shapes people's experience, sense of meaning, and memory. I would just add great musicians as well. I believe Jesus was a great host. And God, it turns out, is the improviser of improvisers who understands how things end and shapes people's experience. The evils of empire assumed the end was the end, but God's way says otherwise. State-sanctioned violence would not be the end. God's love would rise to conquer all violence and suffering. And the risen one reminds us that just as he was one with God, so too are we called to be one with God through the Spirit and also one with each other, crossing every divide until the company we keep is restored to all of creation and God's ending finally does come among us. The wounded healer would embody what it means to host in ways that open and embolden us to follow. Jesus is assuring his distraught disciples that he is by no means abandoning them, and his closing prayer brings this point home. The essence of their anxiety is fear of harm, makes sense. They recognize that the world, the cosmos, can be a dangerous place, a wilderness of wolves. And with Jesus, who's their good shepherd, right? Now leaving them, they are afraid. Jesus' prayer speaks directly to this sense of vulnerability, calling on God to protect and sanctify them. But this protection and sanctification isn't only for the sake of their personal safety, it's also for the sake of their intimacy with each other and with God. In his acceptance that there is an end, Jesus continues to shape them, give them a sense of meaning, and through their memories, past all the way down to this very moment in time, the whole of Jesus is shaping us too. So what does that look like? Those of us who are in kitchen tables know that I invited people to share this week what their takeaway has been from this worship series. We don't have time to cover all of the wonderful learnings. I'm just going to lift up a few. One person shared it like this. We gather. God did Jesus. Jesus is in us. The whole of Jesus is with us. So we have a purpose. We are the resurrection every time we get up. Another said it like this. I never understood the possibilities of hosting until this worship series. The whole ecclesia, the whole church is sent out to be hosts. I realize now that every gathering has the possibility of the divine showing up, so it makes sense to lean into every gathering in the same way the risen one does. He is among us every time. Being Christian community matters in the most imperative way. A takeaway for another person was this. Pre-game is important when the ask is great. I didn't recognize the need for the pre-game. I like to think of pre-game as the scaffolding, which is always already luring me forward. Christian community is the gathering in which I live out the great ask from Jesus. Quite a few folks shared that their takeaway is the risen one's prayer for us and for our community, that the risen one is with us and we should not fear. May we lean into unity to counter the division around us, make connections across and among all God's people so that the world can see that Jesus is from God through the actions of those who follow Jesus, and this is us. Those are your all's words. And then for others, the worship series was pretty much a miss. They were not able to make connections from Priya Parker's writings or John's message of abiding love with where they are in their own lives. What they heard was a book about etiquette and an artificial construct, and felt that neither I nor Pastor Matt developed the connections for them. Others shared that they are not even gathering still. They are still at home. The 2+ year pandemic is clearly not over. Why are we talking about gathering? Those are our words too. So I won't try to respond more or resolve any of this for all of us. For me, though, whenever we wonder about Jesus, we have to include talk about gathering. Whether it's with a woman at a well, or 3 disciples on a beach for a barbecue, or 12 disciples in an upper room, or with thousands on a hillside, gathering and sending into the world is a central theme for our man Jesus. We may think ending a gathering well, it's about etiquette, but actually the ending of every gathering is also a reminder of how the cosmic risen one will ultimately turn every single ending into a new beginning in ways that we may never fully understand. Today we are all grieving for children and adults who lost their lives senselessly to gun violence, and I dare say God grieves right alongside all of us. We clearly, like the world, do not know love fully. And that means we don't know God fully. But the Spirit of God does not let us go. And the Spirit will keep calling us to move through every division into oneness, which is not some superficial uniformity. That's why I read both comments, right? It's a deep and abiding communal experience of indwelling, which echoes the indwelling of God with Jesus. Jesus' prayer in John includes a vision of the world, cosmos, that is both tough-minded and tender, realistic and hopeful. The presence of danger and evil, these massacres, unprovoked war against innocents in Ukraine, other gun violence in our country every single day are all too real, and the world's brokenness extends into every nook and cranny, including our own hearts and our own minds. And this very broken world is the world God loves. God sees through and beyond the world's distortions to the wholeness and the beauty beneath it, the original dignity and goodness we imply whenever we say something's broken, right? It's broken from that original goodness and dignity. And God seeks to restore that original beauty and so sends Jesus into the cosmos for the love of the cosmos. And likewise, Jesus sends all of us. And this is true whether we like it or not. we gather, and then we are all sent out, just like the disciples. As the reports about Texas were still coming in, Nelba Marquez Green, whose beautiful daughter, Anna Grace, was killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newton, Connecticut, 10 years ago, took to social media, she did, with a profound grace and compassion to encourage people like us, I think, who feel like giving up. She acknowledged that we live in a stew of horrible. And she also said that there is still worthiness in the fight to stay alive. When we love people, she said, we keep them safe, and we are not keeping them safe. We don't need cowardice right now. We need courage. Jesus asks of us a great, great deal. And yes, it takes courage. The word courage is Middle English. It denotes the heart as the seat of our feelings. It's from Old French, courage, and from Latin, cor, which means heart. There are very easy solutions to solve the problems of the world, including gun violence. It is our polarization and separateness, also known in church language as sin, which keeps them out of our reach. But when we gather, when we understand our purpose, when we close doors to the temptation of diluting our purpose, when we as hosts watch over our guests and do not abdicate our power as hosts and create a temporary world in which people glimpse God's reordering of power with fantastic music, we gather in spirit, not in hollow announcements and superfluous logistics, which ultimately ends in celebration of God's abiding love, which is made known in the whole of Jesus, the end of which came and rose up to begin new gatherings again and again and again. Let's say amen. Amen. Amen.
Jesus prayed, I ask, not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Jesus must have known that his followers were struggling to be courageous and to share their witness with the world, so he gathered them in an upper room and shared with them a clear purpose. While he would soon be taken away, God would be coming even closer through the Spirit to inspire them to even greater phases of God's redemptive work. And Jesus closed the door to that gathering because the risk that he was demanding was so profound. And soon they would see him no more. No wonder they needed to find their brave, their courage. We suspect they wanted him to take their troubles away, but the truth is they were afraid, and we, like them, find ourselves too often overwhelmed in fear and with troubled hearts. And so we turn in the place like those who have gone before us, needing and trusting that God meets us, in our deepest frailty. And we do that with what the church calls a confession. So I invite you to stand, those in the sanctuary or those online as well, as you're willing and able, and to turn to share, not privately, but with one voice together. Let us pray. God, who abides with us always, you long for us to allow ourselves to be lifted.
yet we dwell in our troubles. You call us to realize our unity in you, but we settle for division and apathy. We say we want to give our lives to you, but we relegate your redemptive work to others. Forgive us, we pray.
Hear these words of assurance. God is with us always, brooding over the face of the deep in Genesis, leading from bondage to freedom in Exodus, sustaining all of us in every wilderness, giving the peace of the crucified and risen one, and then and evermore making a home among all of us as Spirit, the one who abides. His time walking among us on earth in human form came to an end, yet we shall be known in keeping his company as we circle round to tend the fire that is the Great Spirit, trusting God is up to something even greater with the Spirit-filled church abiding in Jesus today. The peace of God has already made us new. Let us say amen.
Amen. And I invite you to join with us in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing the belovedness in each and every neighbor. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, when water and earth had yet to take shape, God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky. God touched the earth and plants turned green and fruit began to grow ripe. And then to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight, and God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." When everything else was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long. God's people couldn't stand to see the intimacy through which they were made known to one another. They couldn't stand to circle round together. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out hope and love and compassion and placed it in a form that the people might recognize, a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be if we would abide in God's love as Jesus abided in God's unfolding grace.
Holy, holy.
Jesus did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree, and we got afraid. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the challenge was too much. The principalities and powers which lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in his life and his ministry and his love, thought they had prevailed, but they did not. And before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises of he will never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those long ago companions, we don't always understand the message that Jesus brings or what his coming and going and coming again means. But we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover dinner. It was bread and it was wine, and he blessed them both and he gave thanks to God. And he said, I am sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather. And remember me.
Amen. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
I invite us into prayer with the ancient words that Jesus shared with his disciples, which have been passed from them to the church through the generations. We've named it the Lord's Prayer, and we invite you to address God in the language which is most dear and true in your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered here and in many places. Pour your Spirit upon the gifts which are before us. Make these gifts for us the body and the love of Christ. And make us, through the sharing of this feast, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome to gather at the table of God's love. All means all. For those of us who are online, we invite you to bring close to you your bread and your juice. For those of us who are gathered here in person, we will invite you outside one pew at a time. The way we share communion here at the table so that everyone knows is there's a plate of bread, there are crackers for those who cannot eat gluten, and there is a cup of grape juice. And you take a piece of bread and dip it in the juice. We want you all to know that there are always people who have never done this before among us, and we are really grateful that you have courage to come into this place. And so all of us remember, and we say it every week, you can't make a mistake. Please watch those around you. Help those around you. We are in God's divine dance together.
Friends, the body of Christ and the bread of life broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for all.
Body of Christ, now broken for you, and the cup of God's love poured out for you.
Amen.
Amen.
We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for as long as you need. Loving God, we give thanks for the depth of your love for the world, which makes all things new. We offer this time, this simple and sacred act of breaking bread. May this moment be shared in ways that call us into the world to be the healing and hope that we so desperately need within our own lives and in the world around us. We offer this in your creative ways in many names. Amen. We want to encourage you to continue responding to God's love as you move out into the world, and that can look like so many, many different things, whether it's gatherings that you're going to this afternoon, whether it's people that you'll connect with online, because being around other people doesn't yet feel safe for you. Our hope is that you will take from this time together the inspiration and the love of God, that we could see God's indwelling in each and every person that we encounter around us. Many of us respond to that love of God by sharing of our financial resources to ensure that our ministries move out into the world in ways that join with God's healing. And so we encourage you to consider either making a first-time gift or setting up recurring giving there online. We are looking forward to a new worship series beginning next week, and I want to say a word about that. Guess who's coming to the table? We have four amazing human beings who will be with us to share messages over these coming 4 weeks. Alexi Torres is a mentor of mine from New York City, and she is also Chloe's coach this year with Table Farm and Table Bread. And Alexi will be with us here in person for worship this coming Sunday, the 5th. The professor of preaching at Union Theological Seminary, Claudio Carvalles, will be with us on June the 12th. And our own Cesca Wolos-Fontenot from Yale Divinity School, now finishing up her first year at Yale, will be sharing a message with us on June 19th. And Tara Limbaugh, who is a pastor in this area who's getting ready with her wife to move down to Southern California, but has also been the liaison that we have with Chloe for Chloe with Table Farm and Table Bread. So we are thrilled to have these four amazing folks coming up to be here with us at the table. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. We are going to go out in worship this morning with song. This is a song that comes to us from The Brilliance. This is called This Is Not the End.
So here's the deal. Actually, this is the end. But here's what they teach you in seminary. This is not the end, right? This is not the end. So may we go forth opening our eyes wider, opening our arms wider, our hearts wider. Go forth with courage, ground in the great, great love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And you know,